reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in 1 Kings chapter 17. It's found on page 381 in your pew Bibles. And we read 1 Kings 17 beginning at verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, Do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But first, make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward, make something for yourself and your son, for thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. The jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. O Lord, have mercy on us. Our second reading is from Hebrews chapter 9, found on page 1290 in your pew Bibles. And we read Hebrews 9, beginning at verse 24. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year, with blood not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. O Lord, have mercy on us. We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Mark, found on page 1086, and we read Mark 12, beginning at verse 38. In his teaching, Jesus said, Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called to his disciples and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. O Lord, have mercy on us." Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on both your Old Testament lesson and your Gospel reading, where in both circumstances we have two widows who do remarkable things with what little they have. As you read through Scripture again and again, you will find that our calling is to live by faith, or maybe to put it just a little differently, to live by trust in God. But what does it mean to really live by trust? How does it look differently than, if you will, from the words of Scriptures, how does it look differently to walk by faith rather than by sight? Some of the experiences we have in life give us a little clue as to how that looks different. For instance, some of you may remember back in your life to that time when you were first called upon to jump into a pool. And I'm not talking one of those little, you know, 1 foot, 2 foot things that people put up in your backyards, but I'm talking about maybe the first time you were at a hotel and it had a swimming pool, or you went to one of the big public pools and you were going to jump into that water, or at least somebody was encouraging you to do that. And you had your little water wings on. And there was maybe your mom or your dad or maybe even your grandpa or grandma sitting there in the pool saying, "Come on in," and you're going, "No." Now, I'm just kind of curious this morning. How many of you had a 3-4-year-old child first time in the pool and you couldn't get him into it? Raise your hand. Yeah, okay, I got one back there. For many of the rest of you, you might at least recall that it took an awful lot of coaxing. That's because to a 3 or 4 year old looking into that nice deep pool, they realize that logically they're going to drown if they go in. There's no way they can keep themselves up. The only way they can possibly go into that pool is if they have trust in the person who is beckoning them to jump in. Otherwise, it would be idiotic. You see, that's living by trust. Or maybe you remember one of those instances where your workplace thought you needed some team building exercises. Some of you have been on those excursions. And you do things like you you close your eyes and you fall backwards and you hope and you pray that the people who are supposed to catch you actually do. Because if they don't, you're going to break your neck when you hit the ground. And often it takes some coaxing to get people to actually do that. You see, that's living by trust. That's doing something you would never think of doing unless you trusted the ones calling upon you to do that. Well, scripturally, that's what our whole life is supposed to be. Not walking by sight, by our reason, by our logic, but living a life rooted in our faith and trust in God. And in both our Old Testament lesson for today and also our epistle lesson, we see wonderful examples of that kind of life. The first happened to be a widow living in a foreign land. Zarephath was not in Israel. It was a city in Phoenicia. Or at that time, when the Old Testament referenced it as the kingdom of Sidon. It is from her land that Baal worship had invaded Israel. Baal was the god of thunder, rain. And the Israelites had taken to worshiping Baal because King Ahab had married a woman named Jezebel from the kingdom of Sidon. And Elijah the prophet had gone to Ahab, who had taught his nation to depend upon Baal for rain, and said, "No, God rules over that. And you will have no rain for 3 years." Elijah first went and stayed by a brook in Israel, but when that dried up, he was commanded to go to Zarephath in Sidon, if you will, into the belly of the enemy. And there he meets a widow who recognized him as an Israelite, maybe even recognized that he was the prophet that had caused all the trouble in Israel and in Phoenicia, who had made the rains dry up. He asks her for a little water, and she consents to bring it to him, and then he asks for some food. But it's the last food that she and her son have to live on. Why should she bring it to him? Why show mercy and kindness to someone that has brought grief upon the land? But Elijah gives her something to trust in. He tells her that the God of Israel will not let her flour run out, nor her jug of oil run out until the rains return. Why share with somebody your last bit of food? That doesn't make much sense. But she believed the word of promise that Elijah had given her from the God of Israel. And so she did something that didn't make any sense unless you trust. She fed him. And faithful to those promises that were made, her oil didn't run out, or her flour. And their lives were spared. You jump over to our gospel lesson. You see another act of faith and trust. A woman down to her last few, well, not even pennies. 2 coins that maybe added up to a penny. And I don't know exactly what they could purchase back in those days, but you know it couldn't have been much. Her life, too, was probably at an end. What should she do with that last little bit? Now, as Jesus is sitting watching her, there are other people that are ahead of her in line to the offering box. And they're dropping in huge sums of money. A couple of coins that don't even add up to a penny, bags of silver and gold. You know, as she herself was watching this display, what good is it for her to make an offering? I mean, what's that going to accomplish? And yet she does. She knows that her life is not going to be saved by her. But she trusts God. If she lives, she knows it's going to be by His hand and not her. And so she drops in those 2 coins. Not necessarily because she believed they were going to accomplish great and powerful things, but simply because she trusted God. It was her act of worship, her expression of her trust in Him. People doing that which is unexpected by worldly standards. That's what living by faith is. At the time of our own deaths, I think it's somewhat easy to live by faith, because death is such an unbeatable enemy. And what else can we do? There's that well-known adage that there's no atheists in foxholes. But the life that God calls us to is not a life where in our last moments, we live by faith. And I can tell you that if one does not live by faith up until that time, it's hard to live by faith even then. Yeah, every now and again, there's somebody like that thief on the cross who in their last minute turns to God and finds comfort and strength and hope in the words of Christ. But more often is the case that people don't know what they're going to do or what's going to happen to them. Living by faith is something we need to practice. It's an act that we have to rehearse again and again and again. And it occurs in so many aspects of our daily life. It's a different way of thinking and approaching the world. You know those questions that I like to ask every now and again? Questions, I don't know, maybe you're getting sick of them, but they're wonderful questions. Okay? For instance, if I say, and I need you to show hands for this one, you know, can you in some way describe yourself as being perfect? Everybody here that can do that, please raise your hands. Do you know how rare a congregation you are? I would bet you $1 million, not that I have it, but I'd still bet it. I'd find some way to get it if I lost the bet, but I know I won't lose it. I'll bet you $1 million, even within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I can go into 1,000 congregations besides this one, ask that question, and not have more than 1 or 2% of the congregation, the first time I ask, raise their hands. You know why you can say you're perfect. You're baptized. God has taken away your sins. You see, that's living by faith. Why don't other Christians answer that question the same way? Because faith isn't part of how they normally think of things. I'm not saying they don't have it. I'm just saying we're not accustomed to using it. Why should a Christian not steal? Every year I have my confirmation class go out and ask other people who are Christians. They can't go to this church because you guys know the answer. But ask people from other churches, why should a Christian not steal? They never come back with somebody who says, well, because God is going to provide for me, which would be an answer of faith. It's always, well, it's bad, it's wrong, it breaks God's commands, it's not loving, something like that. That's not living by faith. And if we can't do it with those simple questions, how many other times in our life are we failing to live by faith? To live by our trust in God and His promises? And there are wonderful blessings that God promises to those who live by their faith and trust in Him, because God never fails to deliver on His promises. That woman who fed Elijah would have been dead apart from an act that was completely rooted in trust. Now, I don't know what happened to the woman in the gospel lesson for today, at least in terms of her earthly life, but I'm pretty sure I know where she is now. And according to the words of Jesus, there were a lot of other people who put in offerings who aren't going to be in the same place where that widow is now. The difference in her life was not that she was so much better than anybody else. We're all sinners. But she had learned to live by faith and trust in God. And it is that kind of life in which we find the blessings that God offers to us. We find it in a life of peace and comfort when we were facing death. When guilt is weighing down on us, we find it lifted from our shoulders because we believe in a God who has made payment for our sins. But there's so many other ways that God can lift us up. When we live not by our sight, not by our reason, not by our strength, but live by our faith and our hope and our trust in the wonderful promises that God has made to us. When we live that kind of life in our relationships to other people, in the way we perform our duties at work, in the way we handle our finances, in the way we live in our families, we need to live each and every day, not by our reason, not by our logic, not by what the world tells us is good or right, but to experience the fullness of the blessings of God. May God help us in all that we do to live by faith in Him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.